I noticed that we're missing one-third of Wandering Star, and my guess is that that one-third has something to do with the name of the brewery. Is that true?
I think the third that you're talking to is the important other English third of the triumvirate.
Hi, I'm the token American.
Yeah, the token American. Alex Hall, who is the Cask Ale correspondent for Ale Street News, who runs a series of real ale and cask festivals here in New York, in both Brooklyn and Manhattan, has been involved, again, from a really early stage in kind of sales and events, especially to do with promoting the real ale side of what we're doing. And real ale is a very large part of the Wandering Star kind of beer output. We are really committed to doing real ale right, which basically means, to a certain extent, having some pretty hard chats with our distributors and with outlets where we want to pour our beer about exactly how we want our beer to be served and treated in that all-important period before serving it. And we're really just trying to do cask ale as it should be done. We feel that, to a certain extent, real ale has been kind of disappearing down a cul-de-sac. It's difficult to find a good pint of real ale priced fairly, in fact, by which I mean a price that will encourage that cask being drunk in the time that it needs to be drunk for the beer still to be good. And you get into a vicious circle where, you know, you have more wastage from the cask because the cask went off because it didn't get drunk quickly enough. And therefore, ullage is the technical word. That's right. And therefore, the bar owner feels compelled to actually charge a little bit more of a premium for this beer. But instead of actually solving the problem, it makes it slightly worse. And what we're trying to do is to kind of arrest that vicious circle, to price our cask beer exactly the same as our keg beer, basically, especially taking into account the kind of additional cleaning and racking and so on costs that you have with real ale, so that it can be priced fairly in bars and people can actually drink real ale the way it's meant to be treated, poured and drunk.
Well, personally, I prefer unreal ale, so you... Talking to my person.
Speaking of beer, your beer is now, for now, only available in kegs, on draft, or on cask.
Yep.
What are the current beers that you have available in the New York area, or New York and Massachusetts area?
We have two Belgians, the Saison, which is the one with predominantly Massachusetts ingredients, and a wit beer, which is made, is spiced a little bit different from a lot of wits, with lemongrass and cardamom, and another Indian spice called fenugreek. That's the Zingari Wit, and the Saison is the Berkshire Hills 01201, which is our zip code from up in Pittsfield.
And that's with the Saison DuPont yeast you use on that?
The Saison DuPont yeast, and it's been really fun tonight actually being able to taste our Saison next to the Saison DuPont, and to compare and contrast where they're both coming from. We have then two other ales, a mild, which is a real session kind of dark beer. Looks dark like a Guinness, there's a kind of coffee, chocolate, nutty taste with none of that acridity that you get with a Guinness, but a real session beer at 4.5%. And a raindrop pale ale, which is a kind of premium pale ale, West Coast kind of bittering. We call it a hybrid because the bittering is from the US, the flavor hopping is from New Zealand. A hop called Nelson Sauvin, which is a real kind of Sauvignon Blanc character to it, and then aroma hopping with traditional UK Kent Goldings. And that's getting stronger all the time. Actually, as we get better at using our brew house and our brew house efficiency climbs, that's now 6.5%. So getting up there for a strong pale ale. And then last but not least, we have a kind of rotating lager, at which we tweak. We use a Weihen Stephan classic Munich lager yeast, but we tweak our lager recipe according to what season it is. So we're just coming through a period of making Oktoberfest. We'll be making a Maibock again in the spring. And right now I'm working on developing a Dunkel recipe, a classic Munich Dunkel, which is a kind of rich, warming, dark lager for the winter months. So that's really our range that's out there right now. We do have a couple of seasonals coming out, but Disqualified Imperial Stout, which is the recipe that won or would have won, but for a technical difficulty, the New York Homebrewers Guild Homebrew Prize this past year. We brewed it as one of our first brews, limited edition batch, and it just sold like crazy. So we're going to do that again. It's an Imperial Stout, about 9%. We're really trying to get that one as strong as possible, just a rich, chocolatey, strong Imperial Stout. And then we are also making a classic Imperial English IPA. And talking Imperial there, trying to get it back to the truer sense. This is the kind of beer of empire we're talking about. Back to the British Empire and the Raj and true IPAs.
So but why has everyone abandoned the democratic beer? Why no democracy beer? It's all
empire.
It's all empires and royalty.
Wasn't there that little beer summit between Obama and the professor at some university or other?
Occupy Anheuser-Busch.
And I seem to remember they drank some pretty bad beer there. You know,
they did.
Democracy goes well with very, very many things, but beer seems to be something for tyrants.
That's a perfect way to end.
All right, well, Chris, thanks very much. We will catch up with Alex Hall, the third partner in Wandering Star Craft Brewery, soon, perhaps at one of his cask festivals. Thanks again.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much, guys.
Remember, inebriation is not a destination point. It's a perk for those with good taste.